Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast. Where are you ready for some football? Because some good old TDs may be exactly what discontented Lakers fans need to help get them through this last stagnant slog of the offseason. But hold fast to your red dick, we're almost there. I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. Tommy, what is good in the hood this September? Or rather, what is Jordan Goodwin in the Jalen Hood Schifino for you this September?
Hey, you know, just trying to get through this heat wave. And then I guess like at the end of the month, it's training camp, right? I guess we got football starting. There's a lot of good sports incoming pretty soon.
Yeah, we are 29 days away from Lakers basketball, which is kind of insane given how nothing happened this offseason. So it's actually creeped up a little faster than we had thought and anticipated. So yeah, football is here. Happy opening NFL night to everybody. And yeah, California is currently probably having the hottest heat wave of the year. It's like 106 outside right now. I can barely even walk my dog. Anyways, for today's episode, we're going to keep it short and sweet and talk about positional battles across the roster and see which ones we're keeping a close eye out on and which ones could actually end up being true battles. So let us get right into it. Obviously, we know that the Vanderbilt versus Rui Hachimura battle is, we think that's the most obvious positional battleground to debate and discuss. But before we get to them, Tommy, why don't we start with the combo guard battle at the 1 and 2 spots of the roster? Obviously, I think D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reaves are cemented as our starting back court. But what happens from there? We've got Gabe Vincent as the backup one, obviously. So then I think we're really looking at the battle between Dalton Connect and Max Christie. So there are 96 minutes between the point guard and shooting guard positions. As I mentioned, we know D'Lo and AR are going to start. Even if they don't start, both of them are going to get their allotted 30 minutes a game at least at both the point guard and shooting guard spots. And we know Gabe Vincent, who's going to be the backup point guard, will likely get around 18 to 20 minutes. So if you take 80 minutes away from that 96 minutes between the point guard and shooting guard spots, that leaves 16 minutes left. So my question to you is, who's getting those 16 to, let's say, 16 to 20 minutes, because guys will move around, maybe some guys will play the three a little bit, but essentially, who's going to get those 20 minutes between Max Christie or Dalton Connect? I know it's not going to be that black and white. As I mentioned, Max could probably steal some small forward minutes, maybe even Dalton Connect could steal some small forward minutes, but I imagine at most it'll be something like 3 minutes at the three, if anything, per game. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on the battle between Max Christie or Dalton, and how are the Lakers going to find minutes for both?
So I think it's going to be Max. We made a significant financial commitment to this guy, and at some point we have to see it through, right? It's like he has, at this point, the seniority. I mean, not actually an age, which is funny, over Connect, but NBA tenure seniority, I guess, over Connect. And so, like, he needs a shot. So to your point, it's not going to be this black and white. Max will probably size up and play a little bit of three because he has good length and really solid size for a two already. But I think by default, the bulk of these minutes are going to go to Max. I think, like, Dalton Connect is really going to be competing with, like, your camera. I mean, assuming the roster stays as it is, which we have no reason to believe otherwise, Dalton Connect really becomes more of, like, you know, a competition with Cam Reddish for, like, that fifth guard spot that, like, Max Christie had last year, where it's like you appear in 70 games or something and you play like 8 minutes, and at the end of the year everyone's like, that guy didn't play at all, and then suddenly it's like you somehow appeared in 70 games. I think that's probably where Connect lands.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Whatever Max Christie did last season, where he'll have like 3 or 4 games where he really pops due to an injury or he gets elevated a little bit and plays 25 minutes one night, I think that's where Dalton Connect is going to land. Now, I know a lot of fans are very high on Dalton Connect. I know the organization and coach JJ Redick is very high on Dalton Connect. But I think for as far as next year is concerned, look, I think Dalton Connect, unless we trade him in a larger package for, like, I don't know, an upgraded young player, for the most part, Dalton Connect is in the long-term plans of the Lakers. So they can afford to sort of bring him along a little bit slower. And so Max Christie is their next priority with regards to seeing what they have in this player. And I don't know if I think fans might hate this, but I think we're going to see a lot more three-guard lineups next year, whether that's D'Lo, Max, and Dalton, lineups with Gabe, Dalton, and Max. I think they're going to try and find minutes for Dalton Connect. It may just be around, I don't know, 10 minutes a game, 10 minutes a night, if that. Because to your point, the Lakers have concretely invested in Max for the first time. He's on this 3-year, I think it's 3 to 4 year deal with a 4-year player option, around $7 to $8 million a year. They invested that long-term deal into him, and yeah, they have to see what they have in him. And obviously they got a perfect steal in Dalton Connect, and, you know, JJ Redick was apparently quote-unquote drawing up plays for him the moment they drafted him. Yes, that's all true. Yes, technically he is the one-for-one replacement of Taurean Prince, but I think they're going to operate next season with the mindset that they're going to bring him along a little bit slowly. But I do think, I mean, do you agree with me that they should find consistent minutes for him? I don't know if it's going to be a consistent role every single night, but I do think they should find at least 10 minutes for him, right?
Yeah, I think they will be able to find some amount of limited, consistent minutes for him. I think it'll be like, you know, how it typically ends up in these situations where first several months of the season, he's getting these, we're finding these consistent 10 minutes where we use him in these spot roles to be like a spot up shooter and then, you know, kind of a movement shooter. And then over the course of the season, he'll unlock a little bit more of his game here and there. But you know, this team has a certain goal for this season. And if we are competitive for a playoff spot come March, you figure around that time when the roster start, like the rotations get consolidated, Connect probably starts to reduce his minutes. So I they're definitely like, we need Connect to play this year. I'm not trying to suggest like, oh, he's just a rookie, so he shouldn't play. We're going to need him to play and give us some impact. But I just think that, you know, you cannot plan for any rookie to really do anything for you in the playoffs. And so, you know, assuming Max has not completely dropped the ball and barring injury, I would assume that he by default gets those minutes, especially when the roster is consolidated, the rotations are consolidated.
Yeah. And I think Dalton Connect is going to be a seamless plug-and-play fit whenever he does play, but I do think people have to remember that, you know, people will probably say, well, what about Austin Reeves' rookie year? Like, a lot of things had to go wrong for Austin Reeves to get those minutes that he did, you know, that first year where he actually showed that he could be a rotation player. I think four of our guards were injured or something, and that opened the door for the Lakers to... I mean, at that point, Austin Reeves was a two-way contract, right? We were so banged up, the Lakers were like, let's just upgrade him to a standard contract, you know? So I mean, if Dalton Connect gets minutes, either something went terribly wrong, or he is just killing it to the point where he's so hard to ignore. But more realistically, if he gets a lot of minutes, if he ends up averaging like 19 minutes his rookie year, Tommy, it's probably because we made some sort of consolidation trade at midseason. You know, it's a combination of him playing well, and also we probably did make a consolidation trade and leveled up his minutes and role a little bit towards the middle of the season. And sorry?
Yeah. Or we're just using Max, like, we're viewing Max as the one-for-one replacement for Taurean Prince because he does have the size and length to defend on the wing a little bit better than Connect, and we'll just play both of them. I mean, it's hard to know right now how they're planning to handle the, you know, that kind of that wing rotation at the three spot behind LeBron, right? So... There's a few ways that this could go, I think. But we've seen, I mean, just this past year, like, older rookies like Jaime Jaquez, like, they can sometimes step in and just look like NBA players from day one. And, I mean, Connect kind of looked like that even in the summer league. Like, as a rookie, he looked like it was kind of his second year there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's move on now to the front court positional battle. I mean, there's no real battle with regards to starters if you're talking about the center and even power forward position. Again, we'll get to Rui and Vando in a second, but with regards to the positional battle at backup center and maybe backup four, yeah, who is getting, this is a question that we've asked in prior years, last year, but who is getting the backcourt center minutes between Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood? Anthony Davis is going to get his 30 minutes at the five and maybe his 5 minutes at the power forward spot. Or I don't know, maybe it's more half and half. He's going to get 35 minutes in between the center and power forward spot. So that leaves like 18 minutes at the center spot and maybe 5 minutes of whatever's left over at the power forward position. So who do you think should get the bulk of the minutes between Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood? Or do you think both should be getting minutes? I know we've said before it's matchup dependent, but I think for me, I would like to, if JJ Redick can swing it, I know this is tough to juggle. I would like to keep both of them in the rotation more consistently than whatever Darvin Ham did last season, because it was like both of them had to do this revolving door of DNPs. And I don't know if that, you know, helps a player's rhythm at all. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, what are your thoughts on who gets the bulk of the minutes between Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood?
I think it's honestly going to be a real camp battle. I think Redick is going to give Wood the chance to prove to him that he can do something defensively. Because if he can do anything defensively, he's probably the better all-around player compared to Hayes. To your point, you know, I would also like to keep Hayes engaged. I just don't know, like, how realistic that necessarily is. I mean, you know, if keeping Hayes engaged is sort of like using him how we use JaVale McGee, which is like he plays a little bit in the first half and like a little bit in the second half, totals like 8 minutes and 2 4-minute stints, like that's fine. That might be enough to sort of keep him engaged. But I think it's going to come down to Wood's defense, because he outperforms Hayes in most other categories. I mean, everybody thinks about offensively, but even rebounding wise, like Wood is a pretty solid rebounder. Yeah. And considering, like, you know, Vando is probably going to come off the bench and, you know, we're going to have spacing issues. Potentially, I don't know that our bench shooting on the perimeter is going to be as good as our starters. So it seems like the more seamless fit to give it to Wood, but I really do think that if Wood is still like unable to provide any resistance at the rim, they'll just go with Jackson Hayes and try to win with defense during those minutes, and then let the starters, you know, come back with their offense.
Yeah, and it's weird because Christian Wood was actually pretty good defensively, at least on the perimeter guarding wings last season, which is ironic. Yeah. And this is so sad. This kind of tells the tale of how porous the Lakers defense was outside of Anthony Davis. But did you know, well, here's a question. Who do you think had the second most blocks per game average besides Anthony Davis?
My guess would be Hayes, I think.
It's Christian Wood at 0.7 yeah. blocks. And then it was, and then I think it was Jackson Hayes. But yeah, that just kind of shows you, like, besides Anthony Davis, there really was no rim deterrence on the Lakers or rim protectors. And yeah, Christian Wood, unfortunately, was saddled with the injury bug, like, midway through the season and was never right. The biggest thing with Wood is he never got his three-point shot going. You know, that was the thing that you kind of penciled or penned him in for, and he didn't have that. So I think there's going to be a nice positive regression to the mean here for Christian Wood. And if he's able to get his three-point shot back up to like 35% even, then yeah, he is. It's funny because I think both of them fit into the five-out system in different ways. Christian Wood as the spacer, and obviously he's a good passer and he can kind of do stuff with the ball. And then Jackson Hayes more as the screener and dribble handoff guy who moves around a lot on the court as the vertical spacer in the dunker spot. So I think, in summary, I think it's going to be dependent, matchup dependent night to night, but I also think both should play night to night, if that makes any sense. So, for example, one night, if it's a Wood matchup, I think Wood gets the bulk of the minutes at like 15 minutes. He gets like two stints, right? But I think that same game, Jackson Hayes should at least get one stint. The next night, it may be a Jackson Hayes game, and on that night, then it's Jackson Hayes who gets the 15-minute two-stint shift, and then Christian Wood who gets the 5-minute shift. I don't know if that's being too, like, idealistic, but I do think heading into the start of a season, you can play a 10-man rotation, and if we're considering Cam Reddish out of, like, on the outskirts of the rotation, then I think J.J. Redick will be able to find it within his ability to involve both, even if it's a night-to-night matchup-dependent thing. Does that make sense? Do you think that's too idealistic to be like, hey, in the aggregate, I think Hayes and Wood will each get like 12 minutes per game.
In the like aggregate meaning like over the course of the season, you think?
Yeah, but like from night to night, it could be like again, like Wood who gets the 15 minutes and then Hayes gets 5 minutes. I have to go back and see if this was actually done, but I do think towards the start of last season. I mean, versus the Clippers, we had lineups out there where it was Wood, Hayes, and AD, you know, wreaking havoc against Kawhi and PG and Zubat. So I don't know if that's realistic over the course of playing all these different NBA teams, but I would like to see J.J. Redick at least do a better job of keeping both of them engaged and involved on a night-to-night basis versus multiple DNPs for either one, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, last question before I take it to break. We handled the backcourt spots with the point guard, shooting guard spot. We handled the backup center spot, the power forward position. Before we dive fully into the power forward and small forward spots, you mentioned him earlier, but where does Cam Reddish fit into any of this? Like, is there a case to be made for Cam Reddish getting some minutes at the three and creating a small forward positional battle between him and Vando? I know you mentioned like a small forward positional battle between him and Dalton Connect. And I know Cam Reddish started at the two last season while Austin Reeves was struggling. But maybe this year, because of Dalton Connect's emergence and because we have invested in Max Christie, maybe Cam Reddish, if he plays at all, will strictly be a small forward. And so in that respect, he's going to clash directly with Jared Vanderbilt or Rui Hachimura, depending on who's starting. But yeah, like in the best case scenario, if we get November Cam Reddish, who was averaging 2.4 steals and he's actually healthy, is there a case to be made for Cam Reddish getting some minutes at the three, or is it silly to be investing in a player that likely will be expiring salary ballast at the trade deadline or sooner?
I don't know that is what makes it a silly reason to invest in him. I think it would be silly to invest in him because he's not good.
He was good last year. I mean, I'm saying in the best case scenario, like we needed him last year.
Okay, Cam Reddish was like the number 7 overall pick in his draft. Like, I think most guys, top 10, you know, picks in NBA history, like what percent of those guys do you think have had like at least one 5-game, 10-game stretch in their career where they were like, they look pretty good.
But that was like a month of like, we went 11-1. He was averaging 2.4 steals a game and he had his best game during the play-in championship against Indiana where he was like wreaking havoc. Like the best version of Cam fit perfectly with Vando and Max Christie. I'm not
right.
And he got injured after that. So there's like clearly a delineation mark there of when his drop off happened. So
I know, but he has not been in the league for 1 year. This kind of like he's been up and down his whole career, right? It's like we could point to the injury, but it's like there's always something with him.
Last chance university last season, and he actually at least held up his end of the bargain through the first half of the season. So this is last chance university part two for Cam Reddish. I mean, he's pretty much out of the league.
If he outplays Max Christie, he should get the minutes, but there's just like no way in my mind that is actually possible to happen, because I just
he did
think
it
Max
last year
a lot better.
Well, he did,
yeah,
it last
Max,
year though.
I don't know that he did it over the course of a whole
he
season.
He did though. I mean, not over the course of the whole season, but literally when they made that switch from Austin Reeves. Well, I mean, this is all dependent on training camp, right? And what JJ Redick is seeing.
If he comes into training camp and outperforms Max, I guess the point I'm trying to make is I don't hold like that spot for Max just because he has a guaranteed, a longer term contract.
I mean, I kind of do, but
but I'm just saying that, like, you know, that by default does not give Max the edge. That in and of itself does not give Max the edge. If Cam comes into camp and is blowing everyone away, then yeah, of course he should start or he should get those minutes. But I just find it so unlikely that it's not even worth like really discussing. But
people were saying that last season, and then what he actually saved our November though. That's my point though. I'm not saying
he's
going to do
but
that.
His numbers throughout many of the other months of the season were like horrific. That's all I'm saying is like before November he wasn't great,
but he wasn't playing. He wasn't playing. Like I mean he was playing, but he was being overextended by Darvin Ham after that. Like. I don't even know. I don't think he was healthy.
Like a million excuses. Yeah. The point, the results were what they were, and it was not like a small sample. It's been like he's been in the league for like 5 years or 4 years, right? So it's like we have a sample of who Cam Reddish is at this point. Like if the argument is, oh, Max sucks, you know, I would say like, well, he didn't really get a shot, and look at how he did in these straight. But that's different. That was like the first season Max really played. Like Cam Reddish, we kind of know who this guy is. Maybe he'll surprise us and that 1 month will become a season for the first time in his career. But I just don't know that you can go into the season like assuming that that's even like likely to happen. It would be a surprise to everybody. I don't think
you can assume that at all, because I think he's getting traded one way or another. But if he starts off next season the way that he did the start of last season, then I think, I mean, even if he's blowing guys away, I don't think he should get any deference over Max Christie, because we saw what happened last season, obviously. And again, I mean, they've invested into Max Christie. But I think what the most that can do if he's killing it in training camp is, you know, maybe he starts pushing Jared Vanderbilt for some minutes at the three is my point. I don't think it's going to be anything substantial, because I think this will largely, and this will bleed into our discussion in a second, this will largely be dependent on how healthy Jared Vanderbilt is as well, because last season, the reason why Cam Reddish got his chance outside of the fact that Austin Reeves was struggling early on was Jared Vanderbilt was injured, and Cam Reddish was the closest facsimile to Jared Vanderbilt and in some ways was the better screen navigator. We can end this discussion on Cam Reddish here. I didn't expect to go this long, but I guess my point is if he is killing it, I don't think he's going to steal minutes away from Max Christie. He might steal some minutes away at the three spot away from Vando if Vando's not healthy. But we will see. Again, Cam Reddish is on his last chance U, clinging on to the last vestige of his NBA career here. So I'm assuming he's going to want to leave it all out on the court. That, and he is a Dukie, Tommy. So we'll see. We'll see if JJ Redick likes to play his Duke guys. So don't fully rule it out. With that said, let's take it to break. When we return, we'll get to the debate that everybody's been waiting for: Rui versus Vando, part two. We will catch you guys after the turn.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
All right, so we're back quickly, Tommy, with JJ Redick in tow. What are your thoughts on Jared Vanderbilt versus Rui Hachimura? How much emphasis does JJ Redick place on continuity from last season when the Lakers went 22-10 with Rui in the starting lineup? Or how much does he place on the continuity from 2023 when Vando was the starter at the three and the Lakers closed the season off 18-8 and then went on their Western Conference Finals run? Or does he place any value on continuity from lineups the last 2 years because he's a new head coach? Does he just throw everything to the wind and be like, I'm going to start whoever is better out of the two? But yeah, if you had your druthers, like, who are you going with regards to the Rui versus Vando debate?
Yeah, I'm actually really curious to see how JJ plans to handle this because he is very focused on the numbers. And I mean, you can make arguments, I guess, for both guys with the numbers. But on the other hand, like, he hasn't been here and he may have other considerations. I personally would start Rui. I think that it bogs down our, unless he could figure something out with Vando offensively, I think it bogs down our offense too much with the starters and it puts like a little bit too much of a burden on AD and LeBron and results in them like really burning out by the end of the game. I think that was like a big problem with a lot of those Darvin lineups that he used to run that were like more defensive minded lineups. It just created a huge mess for us offensively. And you result in like LeBron and AD playing 40 minutes and being like not being able to move up the court in the fourth quarter. So I think he would probably err on the side of Rui for that reason, but you can make a really compelling argument that we have so much offense in our, I mean, like last year we had games where our starters like scored 115 points, right? Just the starters. And so
we were one of the top 5 offensive teams to close the season out with that starting lineup. We were insanely efficient. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could say from that perspective, like to just add a little bit more balance, let's just shove Rui with the bench players because he'll get more touches and looks there. I think it's like, as always, the analysis is a little bit more complex than that. Rui, part of the reason Rui is able to put up the efficiency and numbers he puts up as a starter is because he's playing with LeBron and AD. If he's playing with Gabe Vincent and Christian Wood, I don't know that he could put up the same numbers, right? So it does become a little bit more nuanced. And again, I think it's going to come down to which one of these guys, has Vando improved his 3-point shot more than Rui has improved his defense? Like, those guys' two weaknesses. And if Vando comes in and all of a sudden they're like, okay, 33%, we think he can hit a corner three, maybe he gets the nudge, right? But if it's like Rui comes in and it's like, okay, now he's using his athleticism for rebounding and defense, you know, maybe he gets the nudge.
Do you place any value in Jared Vanderbilt's last 10 games to close last season before he got injured, when he was averaging like 10.6 rebounds and looked more comfortable as an off-ball cutter and a screener, a dribble handoff guy, was finishing better at the rim, shooting 65%. He was like 5 of 8 from 3 in that stretch. I know it's a small sample size, but do you put any value in that in terms of like, I mean, guys who can't shoot are part of 5-out offenses all the time. It's all about how to utilize them.
Yes, I do put some weight on that. I think the trickiest thing with Vando is we heard all about his development and we never, you know, or what he was working on, and we never got to see it. Even when he was with us the first stretch, right, it was such a short time and he sort of got banged up and played out of the lineup because of his offensive issues in the playoffs in his first, you know, little stint with us post Utah trade. So I think that's what makes it hard to project, but that stretch from Vando is encouraging. And yeah, to your point, it's a way that they can use it. The fact that LeBron hit 40% from three last year on high volume also is helpful, because it means that like AD is now the only other non-spacer. Keep in mind, the part of the issue the first year we got Vando was like LeBron had the worst 3-point shooting year of his career. And so it thus became really hard to play all three of those guys together. We don't really have that problem anymore. So maybe JJ can come up with something in that context.
And last question for you, is there an argument to be made that Rui can do his thing off the bench as the go-to scorer if he's flanked by a Gabe Vincent, Max Christie, Christian Wood, Jackson Hayes, or can he do better than 16 points on 57% from the field and 44% from three with the starting lineup?
No. I don't think he can. And that's like the point I was trying to make. This analysis sometimes gets a little bit too, like, people are just, it's not like NBA 2K where you plug one guy out, plug one guy in, and it's like they just continue to, oh, now he'll have more touches, so his scoring might go up. It's like, no, part of the reason he's scoring so well and so efficiently is because he gets so many easy looks playing with LeBron and AD, and honestly, even with D'Lo and Austin, who demand so much attention. Like, Rui is a very good offensive player who is the fifth option in our starting lineup, which is crazy, right? Because he's good enough to be slightly better, I think, for other teams. And so as a fifth option, you're getting like a lot. He gets a lot of dunks. He gets a lot of one-on-one post ISOs. He gets a lot of corner open spot up three. Like, he gets a lot of stuff to make life easy for him that you're not going to get when it's like throw the ball to Rui in the post, and he's flanked by, you know, Gabe, Cam Reddish, Christian Wood, et cetera. And you know, go to work. And then it's all of a sudden, like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, and I think you want to continue to foster the type of Rui, complementary Rui, that we saw from him towards the end of the season, where he was able to play off ball and shoot a ridiculous like 42% from catch and shoot threes, et cetera, et cetera. I think the only thing for me with regards to Vando is whether or not he's 100% healthy. I think that will determine a lot for JJ Redick, because if Vando is going to continue to be sort of banged up and he's going to continue to need to put so much weight and pressure on his foot to run around on defense, then maybe it makes sense to always just cap him at 22 minutes a game. And in that sense, if you have a 22 minute per game player, maybe you just bring him off the bench, you know, situationally. And that doesn't mean Vando's not going to close games. I think he will close a lot of games, but in order to sort of, you almost have to sort of preserve Vando, right? Who's had a history of foot issues. Rui is the more durable player, right? And so it may make more sense to ride with Rui towards the start of the season. We have seen him have success in the regular season. And every step along the way, from what we've seen from Rui, he does a really good job of growing and improving upon the last season, right? So I think this season, heading into this season, he will take with him all of the flaws and issues that he had trying to guard guys like Michael Porter Jr., not being attentive off-ball defense-wise, not being able to box out. And I think he's going to improve upon those issues this upcoming season. And if that's the case, then yeah, maybe starting Rui is the best way to balance out this roster in general, at least to start the season. All right, with that said, that does it for this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. We will catch you guys next time. Tommy, have fun in Hawaii and happy NFL opening night. And yeah, stay cool, everybody. It is hot as balls. Tommy, I will catch you later.
Peace.
Laters.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.